So when I did hospital chaplaincy, we would have what we call IPR, interpersonal relationship course, where we sit down and kind of go through what went on with our week, and we would tell each other our highs and our lows, right? So for this week, the highs would be that thank God things weren't as bad as I thought it would be, at least here at the church, even though I have to bring down my temperature down very low in order to make sure that the church doesn't go out. And also, even with a lot of the challenges this week due to the snow and the ice and the storm, I received some good news from the Air Force that I've been selected for the chaplain corps, and also they send the paperwork for me to fill out my three choices of where I want to be assigned. So good news, right? But then also the lows. All of a sudden yesterday, I was preparing for the stations of the crossover at Iowa Park, and I always come over to set things up and then to check the building, make sure they're fine. 2 days before, I went to check the building already, because 2 days before, you know, the nursing home in Iowa Park burned down. So I came over there to offer my assistant and to say that our parish is ready and available to help in any way possible. So I checked the buildings already, things were fine. But yesterday when I came, there were this much water inside the hall. And so several pipes bursted, and here are the pipes. And so we were able to turn off the water main, and then a parishioner out of God's goodness and providence show up unannounced out there with his tractor. And he was plowing and clearing the parking lot for us. And then when I told him, I need your help, he came in and we spent about 3 hours trying to sweep all of the water away to kind of mitigate all of the water damage as we can, because at that moment we couldn't call any plumber. So this morning about 8:30 in the morning, the plumber was able to come, because I put a little Catholic guilt on them. I said, we have a service 9:15 a.m. on Sunday, and if there's no water, I cannot open the building. Yes, Pastor, we'll make it happen. So they came out, they worked on it. So after they fixed four bursting pipes, he handed me these pipes and he said, you can make a sermon out of this. Thank you. And it's in a Santa Claus bag. And I'm saying, oh, irony after irony after irony, right? So we heard in the first reading today the encounter of Noah, what happened after the 40 days of the flood, where Noah lost everything. He literally lost everything, huh? But yet, at the end of the 40 day of the flood, God made him a promise that we see after every storm, the promise of the rainbow. After each storm, we see the rainbow in the sky to remind us that even in the darkest of time, the rainbow will come. Even when the pipes burst and break, there's still hope. Even though we don't get things our way, and sometimes things are overwhelming at times, doesn't mean that God forget us. God is smiting us, God is abandoning us, or God is in heaven laughing down on us. That isn't the way how God worked. You know what led to the 40 days flood? It that people were living according to whatever they wanted, and God have sent so many signs that asked them for conversion, but they ignored all the signs. They live according to their flesh. They live according to their own carnal desires. They live according to what they wanted. And so therefore, the flood came at the result of their wickedness. God didn't want to punish them. God didn't want to somehow make things worse for us. Sometimes we cause the hardness of our heart by our own actions. And even in the midst of all of this, God wants to purify us. And even though things are being taken away from us, things are hard to bear, we can always recognize that God's faithfulness is in it all. God is faithful. Even in the storm and even after the storm, He continued to be faithful to us and never abandoned us, knowing that the sign of the rainbow is the sign of a covenant. This is the word that we don't use much in postmodern world. We talk much about contracts, right? Let's sign a contract. What is the terms of the contract? What are the details of the contract? What is the scope of work? What is your responsibility? And what is the liability? What is my return on investment? We put all these terms in the contract. Why? Because we cannot trust one another. We're so scared of the other side failing us that we sign contracts, but we cannot trust each other. And oftentimes, we transfer this contract mindset into our relationship with God. Oh God, I do this, you need to do that for me. Oh, I've done my prayer, you need to return back the favor for me. Oh, I've done good works, you need to bless me. So we make our term, our relationship with God in terms of a contract, in terms of an exchange, in terms of a transaction. And God never wants that. He wants a covenant with us. And a covenant is based not on words, not based on terms, not based on limits, not based on all the humanistic tendencies or limitation, expectation, and demands, but it's based on trust. Trust between two parties. Trust between those who are involved. Trust because we know that person. Therefore, in our own relationship with God and in our relationship with one another, do we trust God and trust one another enough? And do we, in our own term, hold up to the words of our covenant? Or do we try to cheat people, cut them short, and do whatever only beneficial for them? The world, it become shallow. It become hopeless. And it become joyless because we have treated one another in terms of contracts, in terms of a transaction, because we don't trust one another. And without trust, there cannot be a society. Think about that. Society can only happen when there are men and women of goodwill who choose to come together to bond with one another for the greater good of all. A good that beyond their own immediate gratification or satisfaction. A good that is for all, not just for me. Therefore, without trust, society cannot exist. And it's going to become just a transactional, pseudo-society. You do something for me, I do something for you. You pat my back, I pat yours. If that's the case, then there's no genuine, real, loving, trusting relationship. And this is what God desires of us. A covenant, a relationship instead of just a contract or a transaction. And in the covenant or in the relationship, there are of course temptations, weaknesses, and failures. Because we're all humans. God is faithful. God is all good. But we ourselves oftentimes failed in that relationship. And even when we're holy, like Jesus without sin, He still got tempted by the devil. We all get tempted. Because the devil always attacked us when we are the weakest and where we are the weakest. And therefore, temptation exists, but not as an obstacle not at something that make us fall, a stumbling block, but at opportunities for us to trust in God, to say, I choose you, I love you, I want to give my all to you. You know I'm weak, O Lord, but I choose you. That's what God wants of us. And this is what the Lenten journey invites us to do. In the midst of our temptation, in the midst of all of our weaknesses, our failure in loving God, we continue to say, Lord, in all of my failures, in all of the stupid things that happened to me, in all the things that seem to fall apart, I still choose you. I still love you. I still want to give my all to you. My brothers and sisters, I hope the 40 days of Lent is a 40 day of not yet, oh, another thing we have to do, but 40 days of growth, 40 days of personal giving of ourselves to the Lord, so that we move from a transactional and contract-based mindset toward a personal, intimate, loving covenant and relationship with the Lord in giving our all to Him. At the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, God did not ask us to be successful, to have all things straight, to be all holy, all good. All He ever asked of us is that we're faithful to Him and choose Him first and foremost at all times.